lesson that I'm teaching today is not in the regular lectionary. It's one of the foundational scriptures of the College of Prayer. So with that, would you turn to the 11th chapter of Luke, and we're going to read the first 13 verses. And you may want to keep your Bibles open to that for the message today, which we'll not belabor this today. But I pray that it'll strengthen you in your walk with God and your understanding and practice of prayer. And would you stand? Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive our, as we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him." And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" You may be seated. Lord, teach us to pray. That's a prayer in itself. That is a prayer. It's a short prayer, one of the shortest prayers that you'll ever pray. But when you learn to pray that prayer from the heart and mean it, it'll change your life. It's the shortest prayer, but it has the greatest impact, because as we learn to pray, as Jesus taught us to pray, God is able to answer our prayers in ways that we never perhaps before experienced. Lord, teach us to pray. And the disciples were off somewhere. We don't know exactly where. I think somewhere close to Bethany, because the previous chapter, Jesus was at the home of Mary and Martha and went to a favorite place to pray. And the disciples were overhearing his prayer, but they didn't interrupt him. Notice that in verse 1. When he finished praying, they came and said to him, blown away by what they've heard, by what they experienced, seeing when Jesus prayed, storms were stilled, dead people sat up and started talking, lame people started walking, blind people started seeing the power of Jesus' prayer, being firsthand witnesses. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." As John taught his disciples, tells us that John the Baptist was a man of God and a person of prayer. And not only was he a person of prayer, but he taught prayer to his disciples. And so they asked Jesus, "Lord, we want to learn to pray like you pray." And they're blown away. You know, normally you don't ask somebody to teach you something unless they, you know, they're really good at it, right? If I wanted to learn how to wrestle, I might say, "Larry, would you teach?" No, I wouldn't say Larry. I'd go, "Cale Sanderson, would you teach me how to wrestle?" Yeah, and then I become a really good wrestler. I learned from, he's like the greatest coach that ever lived, okay? If I want to play piano, I wouldn't go to Mike Johnson and say, I'd go to Heidi. I'd say, "Heidi, teach me how to play piano." Because I want to learn. I want to learn from people who are really good at something. Jesus was the best at prayer. He was really good at a lot of things, really, really good. He was a great teacher, but never do we hear the disciples coming to him and saying, "Lord, teach us to teach." He was good at raising people from the dead, but they didn't come and say, "Lord, teach us how to raise people from the dead." He's good at casting out demons, and Jesus actually empowered them to do that, but they didn't say, "Lord, teach us how to cast out demons." But they did come and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." And I pray that, if there's nothing else that you remember from this sermon today, that you remember that to pray that prayer and mean it yourself. That you open your prayer life to the power of God, to learn to pray as Jesus prayed. Now you might say, I'm a Christian, I'm you know, whatever, I'll pick my age, 63 years old, and I've been praying ever since I learned to talk. Mom taught me to pray, and I know how to pray, and I'm really a good prayer. And I could even claim, you know, I went to pastor school, so I'm a really good prayer. They ask me to pray at banquets. You know what's happened to me at times where I've been kind of satisfied with my prayer life, and I quit asking, Lord, teach me to pray, and kind of just coast. You know, I kind of can go on my own credentials here and use my training and everything. You know what happens to me? I drift backwards. I think I've kind of in the last month I've become aware that I had been in a season of doldrums, kind of backpedaling. Maybe not consciously, but I feel like in the last month or two, God has sort of revived me again and brought me back to the place of a child, not an expert. But Lord, compared to you, I'm a neophyte. Teach me to pray. Teach me. Lord, if our prayer life ever gets to be just sort of a routine that we drudge through, you got to come to the Lord and say, Lord, teach me to pray. If it gets boring, if our prayer meetings are boring, we need to come to God and say, God, teach us to pray. If our prayer meetings become organ recitals, Lord, I pray that you help this person's liver and that person's heart and, you know, organ recital. No, we're supposed to bring our requests to God, including the heart and the liver and all the organs that might fail and different our people's different things, needs and hurts and all that we need to bring to the Lord. But Jesus doesn't just teach us to rush into that part of the prayer pattern. That's part of it. But Jesus teaches us his whole complete prayer. He taught it on a number of different occasions. We know of at least two. He taught it in the Sermon on the Mount. We find it back there in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. The disciples had learned from Jesus modeling prayer and teaching about prayer, but they still had the humility. And I pray that we have that I have that humility, that we have that humility, no matter where we are in our Christian walk, to sit and look and to ask Jesus, Lord, teach me. Teach us to pray. And so I'm so glad they asked that question, because then Jesus teaches that again here, somewhere close to Bethany in the 11th chapter of Luke, a little shorter version of the Lord's Prayer, but the same basic pattern. And Jesus taught this prayer not just as a prayer to say. He does say here, say this. In Matthew, he said, when you pray, pray like this. So the Lord's Prayer is both a prayer to pray, but a pattern of prayer. And we would wonder, in the College of Prayer, we emphasize the pattern of prayer. So Jesus will answer with this prayer pattern. And you know the pattern. We'll spend more time in the pattern again at another time. But it begins, you know, he answers this five-word prayer. Lord, teach us to pray with a five-word answer. The first five words out of Jesus' mouth. What are they? If you look at your Bibles. When you pray, say what? Father. Father. Oh. Folks, if we learn nothing else, let's learn to start there. All true prayer begins with relationship, not some magical mantra that we recite, but it's Jesus came to this world. He left the glory of heaven, suffered and died on a cross, endured rejection. If you saw the Jesus Christ Superstar, maybe it's not 100% theologically accurate, but it truly depicts the suffering of Jesus for our sake. When Jesus died on the cross, and kids did a beautiful job, when he died on that cross and rose from the dead, he did so that you and I, through him, would have the grand privilege of calling God Father. And I, you know, we can't forget what Martin Luther said about that first petition, about our address of God. He writes in his small catechism, God hereby tenderly encourages us to put on our glasses. Where are they? To believe that he is truly our Father and that we are truly his children. I hear that? And he wants us to know that not just in our head, but in our hearts. That he is truly our God, our Father, and we are his children. So that we may boldly and confidently come to him in prayer, even as beloved children come to their dear Father. And then he So Father, as we pray, the Spirit of God brings us through all the rooms in this house. The first room, of course, is Father, the entryway of the house where God embraces us. He brings us into the room with the highest walls. We look up and we are behold that God is holy. Hallowed be thy name. We declare the name of God, and he brings us from there into the room with the throne room of the great house of God, where we learn to declare God's lordship and ask God, be Lord of my life. Your kingdom come, not my will, Lord. Your will be done. We acknowledge that God is in the driver's seat, and we're worshiping God and declaring his lordship. And then we go into the kitchen of the great house of prayer. We come as sons and daughters and ask our Father to care for our two greatest needs, our greatest physical need, which is symbolized by food, but food and everything else that we need from day to day, all our stuff, houses to live in and good government, all this. And our greatest spiritual need, which is forgiveness. Forgive us our sins. Lord, would you bring the groceries and take out the garbage of my life? It's the kitchen of the great house of prayer. And then of course, lots of times we just go directly to the first half of that room, the kitchen, and say, God, give me. Lord, we need this, we need this. Oh, I'm just a poor pastor, and our church, is our roof going to hold? And oh, God, you know, our anxious prayers that make us more anxious sometimes when we're done than when we started. But if we spend time in each of those first three rooms, in relationship, and worship, and lordship, by the time we get there, we're coming as sons and daughters, not anxious, but saying, Lord, you know what I need? Would you provide? And you know what we need is, and God provides. We can come into that room confident, and then we receive forgiveness. We extend forgiveness in the fifth room of the house of prayer, which is the family room or the fellowship room, where we say, God, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to lay down my right for revenge and forgive others because you've forgiven me, right? Fellowship is the sixth room. So we have relationship, worship, lordship, sonship, and daughtership, and then fellowship. And then we go into leadership. We go into the war room, and we know that we're going to be facing a battle. And so we pray, Lord, your kingdom come. And I mean, lead us, right? We're asking for leadership. This is the leadership room, but it's the war room. But it's where we ask for God's leadership. Lead us. And we're going to ask God to lead us in facing our two greatest enemies, the enemy within, which is sin, and then the enemy without, which is Satan. Lord, lead us not into temptation. That's God. Help me with my battle with temptation, with sin, and with Satan. But deliver us. Lord, deliver us from the hater of our souls, the one who would kill us. Lead us, deliver us from the evil one. You know, we say evil, but in the Greek, it's equally valid. It could be the evil one. Garrett, right? Yep. Yes. And so it's leadership. God, lead us, help us. And then we come to the part that was added by the church years later. Words that Jesus may well have said, and the words kingdom, power, and glory are in three different in a number of different places in the same verse in the Bible. So they're biblical words where we say, God, you're the owner of the whole house. Thine is the kingdom. We give it all back to God, all the glory. We throw our crowns before him. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So this beautiful pattern. But Jesus doesn't just leave us with a pattern here in Luke chapter 11. He follows it with a prayer picture. We go from a prayer pattern to a prayer picture. The prayer picture is kind of funny. So a guy comes, you know, I get company, and it's somebody who needs hospitality, and gosh, I didn't go grocery shopping this Monday. So I go over to Jim Undum's house. I say, Jim, you got any bread in your cupboards? Jim says, nope, sorry. Go away. No, he's in bed. He says, don't bother me. You know, I'm in bed. Come back tomorrow. No, I need bread. And I keep pounding on Jim's door. One time we were in, and the point of this part of the prayer is persistence. Jesus is teaching us to pray persistently. Mary and I were in, I think it was called the Beautiful Gennesaret Hotel. It was right by the Sea of Galilee. And it wasn't really very beautiful. We were up in the high floor of this one hotel, and there were some cockroaches out in the hall, and there was leftover boxes of cereal up in the cupboard, which was kind of weird, but we ate those for breakfast. So we were in Israel, right? So we're going to bed, and I was time changing everything. I went to bed way earlier than normal. I think we went to bed at 9:30 on that night. I wrote down 9:30, and by 10:15, It was for 45 minutes for me. It was pretty quick, sound asleep. And pretty soon after that, came a knock at the door. We're in a hotel in Israel. There's a knock at the door. I figured somebody must be down at the door, down the hall, wanting to get somebody's attention. But the knocking persisted. Now, man, that sure sounds like somebody's knocking on our door. Pretty soon I could hear my name sort of butchered in a different accent. But, Stephen? 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 Knock, knock, knock. And they didn't go, hey, I was lying in bed. I was not inclined to get up. But finally, I pull on clothes and go to the door, open the door. And it's young people. And they're telling me something. They need something from me. And something about a manager, John. Something, and something about a refrigerator. I got a refrigerator. What do you want? You know. I think the night previous, we'd heard like guitars and drums coming from down the hall till like 3 in the morning. You know, they were having this big party. And all this night, they were coming to our hotel. And finally, I understood they were asking for the, like a dorm-style fridge that happened to be on our deck, that deck that kind of, if you look over the construction, looks out on the on the Sea of Galilee. So I brought these young people out to my deck, you know. Okay, there's the fridge. And I realized, I'm not going to, they got my fridge. I got to pick it up and carry it. And they did. They took my fridge, you know, and they brought it to their dorm, their apartment, or their hotel room, I suppose, so they could keep their drinks cold so they could party till 3 in the morning again. I don't know. Did I get up and give them what they wanted because I'm such a nice guy? No. I didn't. I did it because they wouldn't go away. So they got my fridge. Well, okay, that's kind of the point here. Jesus is saying, when you're praying, keep knocking, because God isn't like Pastor Steve wanting to get some shut-eye in a foreign land in a time change. No, you have a good God. And so Jesus goes on. He says, for everyone who asks receives. And those who are seeking, keep on seeking. They will find. Those who are asked and they keep on asking, they will receive. And those who are knocking, right, knocking on the door, to them, the door will be opened. And Jesus reiterated, he really says the same thing 6 times. For everyone who asks, receives. And those who seek will find. And everyone who asks, receives. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. And so Jesus is teaching us here, beyond this pattern of prayer, a prayer picture would show, it's a picture of persistence. To pray, and keep praying, and don't give up, okay? We need to learn that lesson. And then he gives us prayer promises. Well, and I just said those. Ask, seek, knock. You're going to receive. Those are promises. And he saves the best part of this prayer, the best part of this answer to the question, Lord, teach us to pray. He saves the best part for last. We finally come to verse 13. And what does Jesus promise? He promises the power of prayer. What's the power of prayer? If you fathers, and he told this thing about the fish and the bread, you know, you dads know how to give, even if you're kind of lousy dads and you're evil, and Jesus, I think, spoke kind of in, you know, in a way that really gets our attention. If you fathers who are, you earthly fathers who are evil, know how to give good things to your kids, how much more will your heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit to those who love him. That's the power of prayer. I think it's in the book of Jude, isn't it, where it says, pray in the Holy Spirit. And Paul, we've been studying Romans. In Romans chapter 8, it says, God helps us in our weakness. We don't have to be mighty strong prayers. God, we're weak, but we're earnest. We're seeking you. We're relying on your power. God helps us in our weakness because we do not know what to pray for as we ought. We don't even know how to pray. But here's the good part. But the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Holy Spirit is a praying spirit, interceding with our spirit to bring to God the deep things. So don't just pray in your head. Pray. Ask God, help me, God, by your Holy Spirit. God, help me to pray the things that are in your heart. So I'm praying in accordance with your will and in the power of your spirit. I want you to just pray with me today. Short prayer. We'll pray it a couple times. Okay, you ready? It's a really hard prayer. Would you pray with me? 5-word prayer. Just pray. Let's say it together. Lord, teach us to pray. Ready? Lord, teach us to pray. Again, Lord, teach us to pray. Make it personal this time. Lord, teach me to pray. Lord, teach me to pray. And finally, Lord, teach us to pray. One last time. Lord, teach us to pray. May that be your daily prayer as you enter into even more deeply, no matter where we are, into more deeply in union and fellowship with God as he gives us the gift of prayer through the power of his Spirit. Just stand for the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.